Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. Plus, you'll get to enjoy our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guests that reflects their attitude to life and passion for walking. Welcome to this week's episode of There's a Walk for That. As winter approaches here in the Northern Hemisphere and the days are growing shorter, many of us start to feel that subtle shift. Later sunrises, early evenings, and perhaps a dip in mood or motivation. For some people, that change runs deeper. It's known as seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, a type of depression that comes and goes with the seasons, most often appearing in the darker months of autumn and winter. Symptoms can include low energy, changes in sleep or appetite, and a general sense of feeling flat or withdrawn. If that sounds familiar, as ever, on There's a Walk for That, we're exploring how walking and spending time outdoors can help us reconnect, rebalance, and find light and energy in the months ahead. My guest today is Alice Rowe, a gardener and founder of monthly mental health walks around East Anglia. Through her work and her own lived experience, Alice shows how walking through the seasons can nurture resilience, joy, and connection, and get you through those long winter months. Alice and I decided to meet for a walk in the port town of Felixstowe, where the sea breeze and wide open sky set the scene for our conversation about how walking can lift our mood and steady us through the changing seasons. Welcome to the show, Alice.
Hello.
I'd love to hear a little bit about your work and about your walking and how it affects a seasonal affective disorder.
So I am a self-employed gardener, and then I run monthly mental health walks around East Anglia. We start each session with some soup and just kind of just go from there, really.
By the sea is particularly uplifting, isn't it, somehow? Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's the huge expanse of sea or all the memories we might have about the seaside, like happy times we spent at the seaside or something.
I think, you know, my brain can be quite noisy and chaotic, and when I'm walking near the sea, you just zone in to the noise of the waves and suddenly realise you're not really thinking about anything else and everything's gone a little bit quieter.
So how did Alice discover that sense of quiet safety in nature? Like many of my guests, it all began in childhood. Those early walks with her family that planted the seed for a lifelong love of walking in nature and being outdoors.
I think when I was really little, we always, every weekend, we'd always have been taken on walks and gone to the woods or the coast. And then as I've got older, I've just realised that I'm just at my absolute happiest when I'm outside. And I don't feel that way all day, every day. But for the most part in my job, I've never been so happy in work. I just get this amazing feeling, and you feel kind of in touch with the seasons, and you can hear, like you said, bird song, feel sun on your skin. It just feels amazing.
I agree. When you're outside, it's so difficult not to get drawn into the abundance of, mm-hmm. of the natural world. It's not just a distraction. It's almost like an answer.
Yes, yeah.
It says, oh, don't worry, look at this. Or listen to that robin.
Yes.
Or look at this little rain shower or a little leaf falling down.
Yes. Sometimes at work, again, you'll be doing something and think, oh, this is a bit rubbish. And then suddenly I'll be aware that right behind me, there's a little robin. I always put my tools down and just kind of stop. You'll suddenly be aware that there's like a blackbird singing near you, and kind of just, I find birdsong really, I could just feel my body kind of just not melt, but kind of just ease back into, I don't know, just feeling calm again. And I guess it's almost like mindfulness. Like, it's not quite a distraction, but just... look at something else, be aware of what's around you.
You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. I just want to pause for a moment on what Alice said about hearing birdsong, that sense of calm it brings. There's actually research showing that listening to birdsong can ease anxiety and lift our mood. In one study, even a few minutes of birdsong reduced feelings of stress and helped people feel more grounded. And maybe that's part of why gardeners consistently rank among the happiest professions. It's that daily connection with living things, with the rhythm of the seasons, the simple act of tending to something that grows. It's a lovely reminder, especially as we move into the months when seasonal affective disorder can creep in, that you don't always have to go far to feel better. Just sitting in your garden or in your local park, noticing the air, the light, the sound of the birds, all that can help lift your mood and reconnect you to the living world around you. Debbie North, Disability and Access Ambassador. It's something that Debbie North talked about. She's the Disability and Access Ambassador for the Countryside and CEO of Access the Dales. And when she was on There's a Walk for That, she spoke about... It's something that Debbie North, Disability and Access Ambassador for the Countryside and CEO of Access the Dales, spoke about when she was on the show recently. How just a few moments of sitting in her garden can be enough to nurture joy and ease difficult emotions.
People talk about vitamin nature and the positive impacts of being outdoors. I've suffered mental health issues with losing my husband. You know, I still suffer. I have really good days, and then other days it's very dark and I feel lonely. I feel angry that he's gone. I go through so many emotions. But when I am outdoors, I feel uplifted. I can feel that sense of, yeah, I can get to the end of today. Even if I'm just spending 10 minutes outside in the garden, outside in green space, It uplifts me. I know it generates positivity.
Let's get back to Alice on gardens and happiness.
Well, quite often is when I've read things again saying that gardening is very good for mental health, and apparently gardeners are supposed to be one of the happiest professions, and I do understand why. Yeah, there's a lot of satisfaction from seeing things grow, experiencing the same place throughout the seasons. I think that's just a really beautiful thing as well.
What I find really funny is how every single year the seasons take me by surprise.
Particularly with the clocks changing. Again, we're very used to it doing that, but you always find yourself being taken by surprise, like, I can't believe how dark it is now.
That brings us neatly onto seasonal affective disorder, the low levels of light and the short days and the long nights and the fact that it's can be dark when I leave for work and dark when I come home. Is that something that you suffer from?
Yes, I love being very active in summer when I finish work. I can then cycle the long way home or go for a walk or sit in the garden. When it gets dark at 3-4 o'clock in the proper depths of winter, I feel quite trapped. It makes me feel a little bit caged. I try and really appreciate each season for what that season has to offer. But it is difficult. Yeah, I do struggle with it. For most of my adult life, on and off, I have struggled anyway with anxiety and depression. For the most part, I've got it under control and I know what works for me. But in winter, I just feel flatter and less able to deal with things, I suppose. It's almost like a switch. So sometimes in winter when it's particularly grey and then you'll have one sunny day and you can instantly feel like someone's turned the lights back on in your head and you're like, oh, that is what I needed. I just needed a bit more daylight.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
conversation that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That. I'm Harriet Thomas and my guest today is Alice Rowe, who leads winter walks to guard against seasonal affective disorder. Before the break, Alice was telling us how, for her, a sunny day in the depths of winter feels like a light switching on, lifting her energy and resilience levels. And there's good science behind that. According to Professor Deborah Skeen, a chronobiologist at the University of Surrey, our body clocks depend on light, especially natural daylight, to stay in sync with the Earth's rhythm. Light travels through the eyes to the brain's master clock, helping to regulate sleep, mood, and energy. And it's the blue wavelengths in daylight that have the strongest effect. They tell the body, wake up, be alert, this is daytime. Even on a cloudy winter morning, the light outdoors can be 50 times brighter than anything we get inside. So just 20 minutes outside, soon after waking, it could be a walk to the shops, a coffee on the doorsteps, or sitting in the park, can make a real difference. According to Professor Skeen, one of the most effective treatments for seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, is exactly that, morning light. Light therapy boxes work because they mimic natural daylight. But the simplest, cheapest, and perhaps most joyful version is simply to step outside. Let's get back to Alice and find out more about her walks.
So tell me about the walks.
I had this idea because, again, my summers are very busy, lots of work, lots of hiking, going to festivals and things. I'm constantly surrounded by people or doing stuff. And over winter, naturally, I just want to kind of hide away and not talk to anybody. And inevitably, you then realise that you've kind of forgotten how to talk to people and that you're not feeling great because you do need a level of human interaction to make you feel, I was going to say normal, to just, I don't know, it helps. And so initially, I was going to organise something just with my friend group. And then I thought, well, actually, why don't I post something on Facebook? And I just did it at the woods nearest to my house. I take a big stove out with me and I make soup for everyone, which I call the anxiety buffer. So if I'm feeling a little bit nervous, I can serve soup to people. And sometimes I have people arrive that don't know anybody else. So they've got a little prop in their hand. And again, if you need to take a pause, you can have a sip of soup. Also, inevitably, people are usually a bit late. So it gives us something to do standing in the cold, waiting for people. I don't really know if I intended to do it every month when I first started. And then they've just kind of grown. Mostly I know the people that turn up, but sometimes it will just be complete strangers. We've had someone even just see us in a car park and just join in.
They see the soup and they're like, yeah, that's my kind of group.
And again, it's open to people of all ages. Children are welcome. It's not so much about the distance or the speed, it's just about being together and being outside. And also in winter, it gives me a sense of purpose, so I kind of have to look for the locations. And there's people that have lived in this area for years and said, oh my god, I've never been to that woods before. Or people that have made friends on the walks, and then I will see, like on Facebook, that they've stayed in touch and they've started hanging out. Yeah.
That sounds so lovely. I love the idea of the soup. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost like, what it's bringing to my mind, it's almost like a fire.
Yes.
You're kind of gathered around a fire, but you're gathered around your soup. It's so welcoming. You know, if someone's got some soup, you know, they've brought something, made something to welcome people to the group. I think that's such a lovely, lovely start. And somehow I also think eating outdoors, is there something about eating outdoors? Like, everything tastes better. But I also really like the fact that it's kind of homegrown. It's like community. I think this is where the future is at. I really do, is these initiatives that individuals do, which actually knit communities together and make it healthy.
I think given what the Coast Path did for me, I wanted to show that to other people, be like, look, walking can help.
That is the second time that Alice has mentioned the Southwest Coast Path, so let's talk about it. The Southwest Coast Path is a 630-mile trail tracing the wild edges of England's Southwest Peninsula through Dorset, Devon and Cornwall. It's one of Britain's most loved long-distance walks, made famous by Raina Wynne's memoir, The Salt Path, the story of walking as both survival and transformation. And really, long journeys on foot have always carried that double meaning. In myths and traditions from across the world, whether it's the Camino de Santiago, the pilgrimage across northern Spain to Santiago de Compostela, or the Japanese poets and monks who wandered the mountains seeking wisdom in simplicity and nature. The path is never just about getting somewhere. It's about what changes in us along the way. So let's find out what undertaking the Southwest Coast Path meant for Alice. Why did she take the trip? And what did it show her?
I first started the Coast Path back in 2019. And I remember possibly the year before seeing a girl post on Instagram that she was wild camping. And I remember thinking, that's so cool. I could never do that. I'd be too scared. And then a year later, I'd never even camped alone in my own garden. I literally quit all my jobs and got the train to Cornwall. And I remember thinking on the first night, if I don't like this, I've made a really big mistake. But I did. I absolutely loved it.
What was it that made you quit all those jobs and go and do the Southwest Coast Path?
So I was in a relationship with somebody that wasn't very nice. He was very controlling, very emotionally abusive and very, very financially abusive. When I got away from him, he'd left me in lots of debt. So I had two or three jobs. So during the day, I'd do gardening and I did groundwork for a tree surgeon. And then the evening, I worked in a pub. And then once I'd paid off those debts, I made a list of all the things that I could do with my newfound freedom. Years and years ago, I was sat on a cliff in Cornwall with some friends and we kind of jokingly said to each other, I think we could walk this, you know? And I'd always had it at the back of my mind. And for some reason, when I was looking at my list of things I could do, I kept going back to that. But even as I was telling people, oh, I'm quitting my job in 2 weeks to go to Cornwall, I didn't believe I could do it. I was kind of like, well, we'll find out when we get there, won't we? And yeah, it kind of went from there. And I mean, I've always loved walking, but I really fell in love with walking and the amazing thing it does to my mind. Nothing else makes me feel like it. I have quite a chaotic, busy mind. Just the amazing things my brain does while I'm walking, like I said, it's almost a meditation. It's just so calming and life-affirming. I absolutely love, like I said, just being alone in nature. I remember the first time I ever did it, I was sat in my little tent and suddenly thinking to myself, oh my God, I've been alone for a week. I've never been alone for a week before. And yeah, again, just with each day, I find it really fascinating what your brain does. And sometimes I'll remember conversations clear as day from like my childhood, or I'll suddenly think, I'm not thinking anything. And my brain never does that. I think being alone in nature might be one of my favourite things about being alive. I can't remember if I've always loved it that much or if the coast path taught me that. Being in nature, like you said, you're not alone. There's so much to look at and feel and think about. So that you can't quite put it into words. It just, yeah.
So my final choice of song is a song that never fails to put a massive smile on my face. When I left the absolutely horrendous person I was talking about earlier, the reason why I started walking the coast path, I listened to this song every single morning for about a solid 6 months while I cleaned my teeth and just sort of danced around, and it really set me up for the day. And it just really reminds me of the person I was at the time and just the excitement and freedom and just, yeah, pure happiness it made me feel. And I hope other people get to enjoy having a dance around to it today too.
It's really, really interesting what you said. I think you said something like walking alone in nature is the favourite, you know, my favourite thing to do in my life.
Yeah, I think I said it's one of my favourite things about being alive.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it, because I think in everyday life, especially if you're working and, you know, you're doing the stuff that you have to do, and we've got social media and we've got TV and we just got modern life, cars and whizzing so fast. I think the solutions that are given to us or that are presented as kind of this will make you happy are kind of fabrications. I mean, it's either stuff or it's, you know, go on a health retreat. I honestly don't want to go on the health retreat. I would just rather like to put my backpack on.
Yes.
You know, hiking, that is the ultimate health retreat, you know. Yes. Nothing else.
I sometimes describe it to people as my therapy, church and everything in between.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. Today, I'm talking to Alice Rowe about the winter walks she leads to dispel seasonal affective disorder. We've been hearing about Alice's first time hiking alone on the Southwest Coast Path, and just like in those ancient myths, Alice's journey was one of challenge, courage, and transformation. It wasn't just about the miles or the landscape she crossed. It was about what changed in her along the way. Each step, each day, alone with the sea and the sky, helped her rebuild a sense of calm and confidence. And now she's bringing that home, turning what she found in solitude into something shared. Through the winter walks she leads, Alice helps others find their own rhythm, their own light, as the days grow shorter. I asked Alice what she notices when people join her walks.
I've got this really kind of vivid picture in my mind of all these people coming and kind of, you know, sort of round the soup thing, you know, having their mugs of soup, which is, you know, so autumnal / winter, isn't it? such a sign of that season. And I'm just wondering, you know, what kind of feedback you got, or, you know, how did people find the actual walk, and why did they come, do you think?
I've had such lovely feedback from everyone. With each one, they've become more and more popular. So I had one, there were about 35 people. And as I was saying a minute ago, I used to have crippling anxiety. When I was younger, I was so shy. I couldn't even answer the phone to my best friend. It's so insular. And I remember kind of turning to someone near me and saying, are they waiting for me? And then I kind of was like, come on, everyone. And I kind of started walking, and 35 people started walking behind me. And I kind of had a little quiet cry to myself, like, this would have been in my wildest dreams, probably not even, I don't know how many years ago, but just I couldn't have even dreamed that that would be what I would end up doing. One of my friends refers to it as their monthly airing. So they're like, thanks for the airing, Alice. See you next month.
I get that. I always think, like, even if I just go outside, I've got a park opposite me and I might just go outside and literally 20 minutes walk.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. It feels like I've aired my brain, or I've sort of sluiced it, or I've washed it. I feel washed inside.
I do have a long-term dream for people that have come out of abusive relationships and young people with very chronic, which is what I had, anxiety. Like, it was crippling for me. So when you first said you'd like to interview me, in a good way, I cried my absolute heart out thinking of the younger, anxious version of me and what that would have meant to her. Just, I was thinking of the version of me that was trapped with that person, or, like I said, the younger version of me that was just so frightened and just been like, she'd think that was the coolest thing she'd ever heard in her life. So my dream is to kind of progress with that. That's further down the line.
If there's anyone who's listening who has that kind of dread of winter and is thinking, the clocks have gone forward, here we go, I've got 3 months or something of living in darkness. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be tough. What can you recommend? What would you recommend?
I'm trying to think of what I do. Just make sure, I feel like routine is probably more important over winter, and little, not rituals, but like, I'm going to do some stretches before work, have something really nice and nourishing for breakfast, and make sure I do keep talking to people. That might be one more specific to me, but I really do completely shut myself away. So I need to make sure that you keep up like a base level of human interaction.
I think that's really, I really find that interesting, that structure.
Mm.
And sticking to a structure is so helpful, isn't it?
Mm. Like I bought myself, and I don't know if it worked, but it felt nice. I bought myself a sad lamp last year off eBay. They don't have to be expensive. And I would wake up and put it on. I'd have it in front of me while I ate my porridge. I'd do yoga some mornings and I'd have it at the end of my yoga mat. And again, just the nice ritual of just the nice cozy light of it and doing some stretches before work. And I don't necessarily always make time to do things like that, but it feels more important over winter to really nourish yourself. And I almost think of it as like putting it in the bank. Like I've been a bit, I haven't been very well this week. So I was like, right, I'm going to eat really well this week and do some things for my future self going into winter. Just make sure I'm really eating all my vegetables and
yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It's kind of I love that idea of ritual.
Mm.
Because every time you turn on that sad lamp, you're like, this is me looking after myself in winter.
Yes.
And even that is in itself is a really nice thing to do for yourself, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe if you're gonna take a 20-minute break at work or something and go out for a walk, if that's part of your ritual, then you're like, yep, this is what I do, because this is how I look after myself. You know, it's kind of building a little kind of package around yourself, isn't it?
Yes.
So a daily walk, preferably in the morning, to signal to your body that it's time to wake up, nourishing food, a few stretches, maybe even a sad lamp. All of these can be small rituals to help shore up your defences against seasonal affective disorder. Thank you so much to my guest, Alice Rowe, who's shown us how walking has helped her manage seasonal affective disorder and come back stronger after a toxic relationship. You'll find links to Alice's Facebook and Instagram profiles in the show notes, where you can follow her work and find out more about her walks. Next week, I'll be talking to educator and author Johnny Walker about how he uses time in nature as a springboard for self-expression and creativity. But for now, I'm taking you back to the beach to listen in on a typical walking conversation that somehow covers everything from ADHD to kimchi to feeling very, very lucky. Thank you so much for listening, and happy walking.
We were talking about bird song before. It just makes you breathe. Take a minute and slow down. And
yeah. Are we going up here?
Yes.
I mean, I suppose that's why everyone loves the sound of the waves. It's like you say, it replaces the noise in your brain.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you mentioned having ADHD.
Yes.
And I was just wondering about, because I know when I was younger, when I was kind of primary age,
mm-hmm.
And I found the world of humans very confusing.
Yes.
Going into nature was my safe place.
Yes.
It was where I could just be me or not me.
Yes.
I could just be part of nature, part of everything. And I haven't had a diagnosis of ADHD, but a couple of people have said, oh, we think you've got it. But I just wondered for you, you know, do you think that part of your love of walking comes from that, or how does it interact with your ADHD?
So I also haven't been given an official diagnosis. My doctor doesn't take me very seriously. I've tried multiple occasions to just kind of get pushed away, but same, I've had lots of people say to me, I think you've got ADHD.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I think I do struggle to be around people sometimes and find it a bit overwhelming and confusing. And again, just that peaceful feeling and just quiet. Yeah, so I've noticed quite often I don't finish my sentences. I kind of drift off and then just kind of stop.
I think that's fine. I think that's fine because it leaves an open space for someone else to sort of maybe fill in what might have been there for them. I quite like it as a thing, really, because it's not sort of didactic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And I mean, who is certain about the world? We really should... not finish our sentences. I think that would, like, we should have a day. National Don't Finish Your Sentence Day.
I really like that. No, I don't. I can't quite talk
about it. Oh, hang on. I don't think we can go down there. Did they go down there?
I think they did.
Okay.
Maybe if we dart along.
Yeah.
Don't think these boots are in the can. I don't think these boots are
water. Oh, mine are. Mine have got holes in them. So we're just doing that bit when you're on the sea and suddenly you're like, can we make it to the next bit of dry land before a wave comes and washes us away? But it won't really wash us. It's not one of those days, really. Oh, it's a lovely... Oh, I love that sound.
Yes. So again, I follow lots of people on social media that also do hiking, and lots of people seem very interested in, like, ticking off which walks they've done and how many miles a day they do. I spend a lot of time listening to things like that for a very long time, or crawling around looking at insects or flowers.
I mean,
and listening to pebbles.
Totally. And I think I totally agree with you. I now think I love walking,
mm-hmm.
but one of the joys of walking is stopping.
Yes, yes.
And even when I was coming here today, and I decided, well, I realised I could walk from London Bridge to Liverpool Street Station.
Yes,
yeah, it was only like 20 minutes or something. But it probably took me half an hour because I was just like, oh my God, look at that building. Oh, look at the light.
Yes.
Oh, look at this. And so I had to stop and take all these photos. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to check my watch and no, I'm okay. And it was so... What is the word I'm looking for? Inspiring and...
Life.
Yeah, so life. I felt so happy and so joyful,
yes.
And so creative and
yes.
So connected. And it was just like, you know what? That was those moments were beautiful for being those moments.
Yes.
You know, I was right in the moment, and I just thought, how lucky that I have to come to Liverpool Street yes. Station first thing on a sunny Sunday morning. Otherwise, I wouldn't have seen that walk.
I love that feeling. I think that quite often again when I'm walking, just, oh my goodness, I'm so lucky to be seeing this or feeling that. Or again, like you said, getting quite excited just about light.
Yes, light and shapes and shadows
yes.
and, you know, it's, but like here. So we're walking along the seafront and there's a metal, what do you call that, railings.
Yeah.
And then the shadow of the metal railings is like a grid. So it's kind of making this really nice grid pattern.
Maybe
I'm going to take a photo.
Something about making things like sauerkraut, because that's what they were for, weren't they? They were for preserving the vegetables
yes.
through the winter.
Yeah.
So we're kind of doing something very, probably even ancient,
yeah.
you know. And that's nice. So I wonder if there's something in our... human. I wonder that also, if that kind of ties to how I feel when I'm hiking, just that basic, just the going back to basics. It sounds really cliche, the simplicity of waking up, walking, eating, going to bed.
You know, but the cliches are true. And I think that's why, you know, the Camino is so incredibly popular now.
Mm-hmm.
It's because modern life is so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go on the Camino, the path is already there, you don't have to work anything out.